So we want to continue our series on Advent. And as you know, last week we began a series on Advent. And as you know, Advent means coming. It is anticipation of Jesus coming to this world to restore our relationship with God since the fall of humans. And ever since the fall of God, the fall of humans, I mean, God has been working throughout history to bring people into relationship. He tried through a covenant relationship through Abraham. He tried through the nation of Israel. He tried laws, and all these things did not work. And he realized that he needed to come to become a man to bring forth his plan of salvation to this world. And Advent is celebrating Jesus coming to this world, and he gives us to this world four gifts: hope, peace, joy, and love. And last week, Pastor Dan talked about hope that we have through the birth of Jesus. This hope gives us strength when we are wearied. When there seems to be no end to our situation, God gives us hope in Jesus. Hope is necessary to continue on in our lives. And he asked this question: we're marked by hope. Are we marked by hope? And he encouraged us to hope in Jesus and share hope with someone. Now today, we come to the second element, the second gift of Advent, and it's peace. And when we talk about peace, there are many implications from a world level where nations are not fighting with each other, and there's no wars. On a relationship level, we think about peace with each other. Then on a personal level, we're at a sense of serenity. And so today what we want to do is look at this concept of what Jesus talked about in terms of peace. And let's read the passage before we begin. It's from John chapters 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And so today what we want to look at is the concept of peace. And so let's start out with the word of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we start out looking at your word, may the words and thoughts of my heart may be pleasing your eyes. And what is not of you, may we not remember, but what is of you, may we take it to heart and be transformed by your word. And through your word, may we become people of God who are changed for you and your purpose. So thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we look at this word, peace, there's the worldly definition of peace and the biblical definition of peace. And today what we want to look at is, what did Jesus mean when he says, "My peace I give unto you"? This peace was declared in the book of Luke chapter 12, 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This was declared by the angels. So the question is, what is this peace that Jesus is talking about? And then we'll explore, how do we get this peace? And then we will also explore, how can we maintain this kind of peace in our lives? So when we think about what is this peace, there's a worldview definition of peace, as I said before. Peace means to be without trouble, to be free from conflict, to have no stress. It would be absence of hostility, the absence of unrest, the absence of conflict. It is being free from things that cause you to be fearful, anxious, depressed, a state of mind where we are calm, tranquil, and have a brief truce. Now, when you think about this definition, definitely we all want this kind of peace. I know 2020 has been very tumultuous, and amidst this time, we want this kind of state of mind, calm, tranquil, have a sense of peace in our lives. The biblical definition goes a little bit more further. It goes much more deeper than the world definition of peace. It starts out from the Old Testament when the Jewish community says shalom. That's the word peace. It's mentioned 250 times in the Bible. And it began in 1 Samuel where this word was used. Now, the word shalom is a very large and all-encompassing word. And in essence, it means this: a wish for completeness, or a wish for contentment, or a wish for fulfillment, or satisfaction, or blessing, or maybe well-being, works, a wish for prosperity on all levels. In other words, It is a desire that all that is good will flow into your life. Shalom. Say that to one another. Or if you're watching by yourself, say it to yourself. Shalom. This is the intent of one of the components of peace. But to take it much more further, it means also a deeper way. If you look at the New Testament version, it's from the Greek word Aaron. You ever heard the name Irene? Irene means peace. It describes a tranquil state of the soul, a soul at rest, a satisfied soul. It means the Messiah's peace. Now, notice here, the New Testament definition, adding to the Old Testament view of shalom, is also in your peace, in your relationship with God. It means the Messiah's peace, the way Jesus leads to peace through salvation. It means a tranquil state of a soul assured of his salvation through Christ. So there's nothing to fear about death. And it's a blessed state of devout and upright man after death. So basically, if you look at the word peace, when Jesus says, peace be with you, my peace I give unto you, what it really means is, not only do I wish you goodness and happiness, not only do I wish you tranquility and peace, but also I wish you a peace between you and God, a reconciliation. And so with this in mind, let's look at what Jesus meant when he said, peace I give to you, my peace. To know this context in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, starting verse chapter 14 to the end, is an account of the last 7 days of Jesus on earth. Disciples were very uneasy because they knew Jesus was talking to them about going away. That's why John chapter 14, 1, Jesus says, let your not hearts be troubled. Believe in me and believe also in me. And then he goes on talking about my peace I give unto you is a peace that the world do not know. And this is peace that he's talking about is a deep meaning of peace. And this peace will also guard you and protect you. Look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Message Bible puts it this way. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Notice here, before you know it, God's wholeness, everything comes together for good and will settle us down. When you're anxious, do you ever feel anxious? Do you feel nervous, worried, uneasy, apprehensive? Are you restless? Are you fearful? Are you fretful? Are you frightened? Do not allow it to control you. When Jesus says, I give you this peace, tell God and let your praises shape your worries into prayer. And the peace of God that gives you helps us to be settled down, and Jesus will displace your worry at the center of your focus with peace. Would you all want that? I want it real bad. And Jesus gives us this calming experience through his peace. And when we talk about Jesus' peace, this peace will restore your relationship. This peace will be present with you on a daily basis, and it'll be centered on you. And also, if you go much more deeper, Jesus' peace means a three level of peace that Jesus brings to us. Look at John 20, verse 19. On the evening, on the day of the week, when the disciples were together. Now, this is after Jesus, the 3 days Jesus died. With the doors locked with fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came, stood among them and said, peace be with you. So, 3 days after he rises on the third day, he rose from the dead in the evening. It's the evening of the third day. He doesn't knock at the door. He just appears to them. And the first word he says to them is, peace be with you. And what we're looking at is three levels of peace that Jesus is bringing to them. Peace with God, in your relationship with God. May your peace of reconciliation be there for you. The barriers that we have between God is broken. In Hebrews 9:15, he says, "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." God becomes a man, mediates between us and him. He becomes a sacrifice, taking the sins of the world. And Hebrews 9:27-28 says, "Just as people are destined to die once and after this face judgment, so Christ," notice here, "was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. He appeared a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." So he died for our sins. He resurrected again, second time, to give us salvation to all of us. And so God's invitation, when you talk about peace with God, is I want to make peace with you through the death on the cross. And all you need to do is accept that peace, because Jesus' resurrection destroyed the barriers between you and God. Ephesians says this, "For he himself is our peace." Jesus is our peace, who has made two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostilities. This is in Ephesians chapter 2, and it clearly defines what Jesus' peace means. If you have some time, read this passage in the whole chapter 2 about Jesus' peace, because he brings peace in our relationship with God. But also, this means a peace with ourselves. When he says, "Peace be with you," we need to be at peace with ourselves from our guilt. We need to be at peace with ourselves to know that we're loved unconditionally, we're precious in God's eyes, and that God, when he offers peace, brings healing in our lives, from our hurts, from our pains. And this is the reason why God says to us, "Peace be with you." And the third level of peace is with others. Practice peace by forgiving others. So the first level, third levels, three levels, our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves and with others. Notice here, John 20:23. "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, the hostilities in John 20 talks about the hostilities of not having peace is unforgiveness. And Jesus is telling us, begin by forgiving. If you're going to be a messenger of peace, you need to begin by forgiving people. Luke 24:47 says, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached among all the nations." You know why? If you're ever going to bring the gospel of peace, this deep peace that Jesus is talking about, not only tranquility, not only peace about yourself, we need to be a messenger of peace, bringing peace to others. And that's what Jesus is commanding us to do. In the book of John, he urges us to take it to others in John chapter 20. So this is the peace of God. It's a shalom. He wishes you well. He wishes the best for you, but also is Irene, in that he wants us to have a sense of tranquility, a sense of peace in our lives, a joy, a satisfaction, but also it breaks our relation, our barriers with God. It brings a restored relationship with God and with ourselves and with another. So how do we get this peace? You cannot get it on your own. You cannot do a method. The world believes that you can gain this by working at it. It's not always true, because this method can help. Of course it does. You know, breathing exercises or even yoga can help, but we cannot change the environment we're in. We cannot always change the circumstances or the people or the outcomes. We cannot restrain our anxiety, nor can we control our unsettled feelings. We need something else to help us to have this peace. We cannot do it on our own on a consistent basis. And this is Jesus. Jesus brings peace and gives it to us. This is why he says, my gifts I give unto you. Notice here in John 20:19, the disciples are frightened. Jesus shows up and he brings peace to them. You know, the door was not locked. It was locked. Jesus appears and Jesus comes and presents this to us. And so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of allowing Jesus' peace to be in you. He comes in the midst to give us peace. And dispatch says Jesus gives us peace. And Jesus fulfilled his prophecy that he gave in John chapter 14, my peace I give unto you. After the resurrection, he gives this peace. So you need to go to God. Since God gives it to you, go to God. And you have the choice, not take it or take it. And God's peace comes to you. And if you want it, go and take it. All you need to do is ask. You know, John chapter 16, 24 says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive so that your joy will be complete. The Holy Spirit will work as you ask him to give you peace. But you need to cooperate with God to say, I want this peace. So how do I get it? God gives it to you. Take it. You need to say, yes, I want it. And then the third question is, how do we maintain this peace in your life? Let the peace of Christ rule in your life. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. A parallel passage is Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. This peace we get, verse 12, gives us this contentment in every situation. Would you want that? I do. And I wish for you to have that kind of peace. So start out by letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Another way to put it is that the peace of Christ rule in your heart, hearts. And this things, how do we do that? Well, there's three things we're supposed to do to let it rule. Allow the peace of God, which is a living power. So the peace of God is a living power to come to you. And that living power is Jesus. It comes to you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your life. Let it come to you. Another way is English translation says, let the peace of Christ guard your heart. It literally means the peace of God march around the ramparts of your heart. Be soaked with God's peace in your life. Let it be the center of your life. When Colossians talks about let it rule, literally it means like an umpire that rules. You've seen a baseball game, umpire says foul or strike. In the times of Paul, the Roman times, umpires were in the Colosseum. And they would throw out, their role was throw out rough people. Their role was to moderate the games. And they threw out troublemakers that would interfere with the games. They were the ones who kept the peace. So allow Jesus to throw out things in your life that causes you no peace. Let him be the umpire of your life. Let him dominate your life. Submit to him. And let him rule over you. That's the first thing. And let it rule within you. Let the peace of Christ not only dominate, but let him rule within you in that he has lordship over your life. And the peace that is from the world doesn't last long, but when it's within, where it rules within us by his power, let his power rule around you, it brings a tremendous amount of peace. And the third thing we need to do is receive the peace of Christ and take it to others. So, you know, God brings it to you, take it, let it rule over you, and then let it rule your inner soul, and then receive the peace of Christ and take it to others. Notice here verse 21 in John chapter 20. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, notice here, I'm sending you. God is sending you, Jesus is sending you to be a carrier of peace. Maintaining peace is not just good enough. Take it to others. So, you know, how do you maintain it? By practicing peace and taking it to others. The more you practice peace in your life and show it to others and live it out with others, the more you'll be able to practice peace in your life. So peace is a living power that comes into your life. It works in spite of circumstances, and it is given to us by Jesus. To illustrate this, this is Christmas season. Many, many years ago, I was called by a parishioner because this parishioner's father passed away. And the siblings needed some healing and wholeness because they were full of hurt. And so their father used to tell them, just like Jacob in the book of Genesis, who was their favorites. And so they would list among the siblings. There was four siblings, and you're one, two, three, four. This is dysfunctional family. How would you like it if your father or mother told you, you're my favorite, but you're not the favorite of mine? You know, I mean, it creates a lot of hurt. The fourth one, who was told he was the least favorite, resorted to drugs. Why? Because his parents, his father, really downgraded him, devalued him. Now he's passed, he's gone, and they want to have some closure. So the mother and the children all gathered together, and they had this time of airing out. I facilitated this airing out time where they shared about the hurts and the pain that they went through. And toward the end, the mother said, I'm really sorry that I also participated with your dad to cause this kind of unsettledness in your heart. All I want is for the rest of my life is to be peace, to have peace with you as my children. And so they all gathered. And the first thing, and it's really hard for a parent to say, I'm sorry. But the mother said, I'm sorry. And the kids accepted it, and they gathered together to pray. So I led a prayer. And if you ever want to be healed and have peace in your life, we need to first pray to forgive the person who hurts you. So they prayed to forgive their father. They asked God to forgive their mother. They asked God to forgive them for not forgiving their mother, their father. They asked God to give them strength to forgive their father completely. Notice forgiveness cannot come because you're told to forgive. You need the power of God to help you. And then they asked God to free them from the bitterness against their father. And they forgave God for allowing these bad things to happen to us. Notice when things happen, we often say, why does God let this happen to me? You guys ever thought that way? Well, you know, true forgiveness is to understand God doesn't always allow this to happen, but we blame God for everything sometimes. And if you want to be a practicer of this, we need to understand that sometimes these things occur. And maybe God allowed this to occur to teach us lessons. But the point is this, God wants peace in your heart. And we need to also release God for allowing these bad things happening to us. And when the family prayed this way, you know, Jesus talks about my peace I give unto you is a peace that the world does not understand. A remarkable power came within the fellowship of the siblings and the mother. And there was this peace, the peace of God, the peace of Christmas, where they're calm and tranquil, where their relationships with one another, there was no longer barrier. Where the relationship with God, there was no longer barrier. Where the relationships with themselves, they felt really good about themselves. And this is what peace is. And when Jesus is here coming to this Christmas season and he talks about the peace, he's talking about the peace he gives us. And today as we celebrate communion, it's time for us to also celebrate the gift of peace that Jesus brings to us.